We thank you that you revealed yourself to your people as Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Lord, it's a very part of your nature. And Lord, we thank you that when Christ came, Lord, he fulfilled Isaiah 53 by taking upon himself our infirmities and our sicknesses, showing us again the heart of God towards us and helping us to believe you for healing as part of your covenant with us as your people. And so, Lord, this morning we lift up every member of this congregation that is out sick. Lord, those who are afflicted with sinus issues, Father, we speak to those sinuses and we command them to be healed. We command every infection to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, those who are out perhaps with some other issue related to the sinuses, perhaps the flu or COVID, Lord, we just speak healing to them this morning in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, for those who are ailing with other issues, Lord, Father, those who, Lord, speak to every organ in their bodies, Lord, and command those organs to function as they were created to function. Lord, we command, oh God, everyone who's struggling with all sort of health issues this morning, Lord, we speak healing, we speak deliverance, we speak freedom this morning in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, every ache and every pain to be gone in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you for the healing that you have released to us. Lord, your scripture says you sent your word and healed them. And Lord, we receive that this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, as we look into your word, Lord, we ask you to continue to speak to us. Lord, we invite your Holy Spirit, the teacher, to come and teach us this morning. Lord, we invite the Holy Spirit to sit beside each person this morning and to whisper into our hearts the word that each person needs to hear. And Father, we pray, O God, that as your word comes forth, that Christ will be exalted, that Christ will be magnified, and that Christ alone will be seen. And so, Lord, this morning we thank you for continuing your work through us by your Spirit and also through your word. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen. Amen. Such a beautiful day. And the best place to be at this point in the day is amongst God's people. So I'm so glad to be amongst God's people. I want to continue the series we've been doing, cultivating a prophetic atmosphere, allowing ourselves to be in tune with the Spirit of God, to flow with what God is showing us and teaching us and speaking to us. Today I want to talk about dreams and visions. Dreams and visions. Because we know from Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was poured out, that the Apostle Peter said that this is that which was promised by the Lord through the prophet Joel, that in the last days he'd pour his Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters would prophesy, and your young men would see visions, and the old men would see dreams. And so dreams and visions really are a part of the prophetic realm. It's part of what God promised that would happen in the last days, that there would really be an increase in the people of God seeing visions and seeing dreams. And so it's not something we should just, you know, relegate for sometime in the future. It's something that is how we ought to live and function today. So I want to speak first, talking about the nature of dreams. What do we mean when we talk about dreams? And dreams, one of the important things that it usually occurs when we're sleeping. So when we talk about dreams, we're not talking about dreams like they speak about in business and in leadership. What is your dream? We're not talking about that type of thing. That is fine. But a lot of that is just based upon goals that people set and what they hope to achieve. What I'm talking about is things that happen to us when we are sleeping that really is beyond our consciousness. It's something that happens to us. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29, and I'm going to start at verse 5. The verse I really will be focusing on in terms of this subject is verse 8. But as I was preparing this last week, my eyes started from the beginning of the chapter, and then I thought that as I was reading through it, that somebody needed to hear these verses before, starting at verse 5. That somebody in this house, somebody perhaps participating online, that this becomes a prophetic word to that individual. And this is what it says. The Lord is speaking to Israel. The Lord, in the first four verses, was correcting Israel, but now he gives Israel a promise. And it says, but your enemies, say enemies, your enemies will become like fine dust. The ruthless herds like blown chaff. Suddenly, in an instant, the Lord Almighty will come with thunder and earthquake and a great noise with windstorm and tempest and the flames of a devouring fire. Then the hordes of all the nations that attack against Israel, Israel's another term referring to the people of God. So the hordes of all the nations that fight against Israel, that attack her and her fortress and besiege her, will be as it is with a dream, with a vision in the night. And so now the verse pertains to this subject. So just to recap before I focus on verse 8, the Lord promised his people, his Israel, his darling, that listen, all these people who come against you, your enemies, they're going to become like fine dust. Suddenly I'm going to intervene in your life and in your circumstances and bring victory. So somebody need to hear that this morning, that things don't seem to be aligning itself as it should. You're not so sure what's going on. And God comes and says, listen, your enemies will become like fine dust. Listen, in an instant, I'm going to intervene and I'm going to turn things around for you. The hordes that seem to be all around you, the enemy that is gathered around, seeming to be victorious, suddenly I'm going to intervene and scatter them. And so they thought they were going to have victory, but really what they were doing, the Lord now goes on to say in verse 8, they were like somebody dreaming. And why I want to read this verse is to help us to see that there are all different types of dreams. You have dreams which come just from the natural man. It's like it comes from our emotions. It's psychological. It's natural. People have it all the time. And here the Lord describes such a dream, saying the enemy around you, they're just like somebody who's dreaming. But they don't have the reality. So verse 8 says, when a hungry man dreams that he's eating, but he awakens and his hunger remains. You know, you go to bed and you're hungry. Man, I'm so hungry. That you dream that you're eating the pizza. You dream that you're at a feast. And you're really enjoying it in your sleep, in your dream. And lo and behold, you wake up and you realize, oh no, it was just a dream. I'm still hungry. That's coming basically out of your, out of your emotions, out of what's happening in your life, and you dream it. You see? And so the Lord is saying to Israel, really, that's how the enemies are. They think they're going to defeat you. They think they have victory. But alas, I'm going to so intervene that it's going to be like a dream. That they've just fooled themselves because I'm going to work on your behalf. So he says, again, going back to verse 8, as when a hungry man dreams that he's eating, but he awakens and his hunger remains. When a thirsty man dreams that he's drinking, but when he awakens faint, and his thirst is unquenched. So it will be with the hordes of all the nations that fight against Mount Zion. So when the enemy thinks he's going to win, he's probably already celebrating, and God is like, he's just fooling himself. He's like somebody dreaming. But for our subject, we can see here the Lord saying that it's normal for people to dream, and it comes out of what they're going through. You're going through, you're hungry, and your dreams you have a nice feast. You're thirsty, and your dreams you're drinking this, I don't know, strawberry lemonade, and it tastes so nice. And when you wake up, you're like, oh, man, I wish I could go back into my dream. Anybody been like that? I wish I could finish that nice chicken in my dream because I'm still hungry. And so dreams many times can come out of what we're going through. You understand? And many of you know this.
You dream that you're running. And really what's happening is that you have some fears. Perhaps you have to do a presentation to some group of people the next day or sometime soon. And those fears come out in your dream. See? So that's what happens many times. Or you feel as if you're going to expose yourself. You really think that when you say something publicly, people are going to see through you and you're going to end up making a mess of things. It's a lot about this psychologically. And in psychology, they have therapists who can help you to understand what's happening to you based on some of the things you dream. Carl Jung was one of the psychologists who developed theories about dreams. So the important thing then for the believer is for us to be able to discern, when is my dream just coming out of what I'm going through? When is my dream just because I watch this crazy movie just before I went to bed? You know? Because it depending on the type of movie, it can affect you in your dreams. So when is it just because of that? When is it because I've watched too much of the news and listened to too much negative things? And when is this really something that God is trying to speak to me? So it can be spiritual, or it can be from some sort of psychological source or sources. So when it comes to the Lord, and this is where we want to look at Job chapter 33, the book of Job chapter 33, picking up at verse 14, this is what Job says, "For God does speak." We all know that. God speaks. No one way. Sometimes you hear it by, you sense it in your spirit. Sometimes a prophetic word comes to you. So no one way, no another way. But he speaks. But here's the problem many times. People don't realize it. People don't perceive it. So it says, though man may not perceive it, God is still speaking. So what does God do then? Since these people not slowing down so they can hear me, they're so busy running here, there, and everywhere, I'm trying to talk to them. I'm trying to speak to them. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to speak to them in a dream. So it says, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings to turn man from wrongdoing and keep him from pride. So the Lord is saying, he's speaking to people. Here it seems to refer primarily to somebody unsaved, because God speaks to the saved and the unsaved. He's trying to talk to the unsaved, and they're not listening, running up and down. So God says, you know what I'm going to do? When they're sleeping, I'm going to speak to them through a dream. I'm going to speak to them through what they see, so I can warn them, I can save them, I can help them to understand that there's a God in heaven. And that's why you and I can pray with confidence for some of our loved ones, those prodigals who are running, those who are caught in our sort of bondage. That's why we can pray with confidence. Lord, speak to them in their dreams. And many, many Muslims have come to Christ because in their dreams, Christ has appeared to them. You see, so all Job here is doing, or this guy who's talking to Job, is trying to put into simple words what God does. And he does the same thing for the believer. Many times you and I, God is trying to talk to us. He's trying to say, Joe, listen up. And I'm so busy running here, there, and everywhere, doing a thousand things. And he's like, I know what I'll do. I'll catch him when he's asleep. And I'll speak to him in a dream. So he can get my word and understand that I want him to do this or go in this direction. And so God speaks to us, saints, many times through dreams. Now, some people say they don't dream. The people who study these things say all of us dream, just that some people don't remember. But I want to encourage us, because oftentimes when the Lord speaks to us in a dream, you can wake up with a sense that I think the Lord was trying to say something. This one has remained with me. I think God was trying to communicate with me somehow. So it was one of the earliest forms of divine communication we see even in the scriptures. The scripture I have there is in Genesis 20, when Abraham is there with his wife, Sarah, and Abimelech the king is around, and Abraham is scared, so he says to Sarah, listen, you're my half-sister, just leave out the half part and tell this man that you are my sister. You see? And Abimelech innocently takes this woman, and he was about to, have relations with her, when God intervenes and speaks to Abimelech in a dream. And the Lord says to him in Genesis 20, listen, if you touch that woman, you are a dead man. God speaks to you, this unsaved Gentile atheist, in a dream, intervening to protect Sarah. That's one of the earliest times we see dreams there. And Abimelech woke up and he's like, oh my goodness. The Lord actually goes on to say to him, you need to ask Abraham to pray for you because he's actually a prophet. Abraham, a prophet, hearing God's word, pray for you because he's a prophet. And when he prays for you and your household, they'll be healed. And Abraham goes on, he goes to Abraham and Abraham prays for them and they get healed. But I want us to see that from the earliest of times, God has been speaking to people through dreams, saved and unsaved. Sometimes our dreams can start out psychological. It's purely from what we're going through, and then God transitioned it into something spiritual. That's what we have here in Daniel chapter 2. And I'm going to read it so we can get, the scriptural foundation for it. Daniel chapter 2, verse 28. It's one of the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar. Again, an unsaved man at that time. He says, but there's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. That's verse 28 of Daniel 2. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. And so, verse 29, as you are lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealed mystery showed you what is going to happen. So here's King Nebuchadnezzar lying on his bed, and he's starting to think about the future. And he's probably wondering what the future is like, and, thinking, and he falls asleep. And his dream starts out because of what he's concerned in his mind about the future. And God takes that human psychological concern and then gives Nebuchadnezzar a dream which is spiritual, which has spiritual implication. He gives him this dream of this large statue, verse 31, that had a head of gold and had a chest of silver, and the belly and thighs were made of bronze, and the leg was made of iron, and the feet of iron baked with clay. And then he sees a rock that is cut out from the mountain, a rock that comes and destroys that statue. And Daniel was able to help Nebuchadnezzar to realize, you are the head of the gold, but after you is going to come different nations. To outline things that will happen towards the end times. And these kingdoms, some of them have already come, in terms of after the Babylonians came the Medes and the Persians, and after that came the Greeks, and after that came the Romans. And so the question is now in terms of the toes, where are we in terms of God's plan? But what I want us to see is that this dream started out basically because this king was concerned about the future. So it started out because of some psychological reasons, but in the middle of it, God transitioned it from psychological into spiritual. And the same thing can happen to you and to me. You go to bed concerned about your children, let's say. You they're on your mind. You wonder how to get themselves into certain circumstances. And you go to bed like that and you start your dream, thinking about them, dreaming about them. And before you know it, God expands that and shows you more stuff. And so we shouldn't just discard the dream and say, oh, it's because I was thinking about them. No, God can transition you into seeing something spiritual through that dream. And he will do that because it's part of what he says he'll do in these times, in the last days. He's going to speak to us through dreams and visions. Now, wisdom is needed sometimes when it comes to dreams. Because sometimes the dreams are plain and sometimes there's symbolic stuff in it. This dream that Nebuchadnezzar got needed interpretation. I think it's Mike Bickle who says the dreams sometimes, and visions too, are sometimes like parables. And so we still need the Lord to help us to understand what does this thing really mean. And many of you can relate to it. I don't remember all my dreams. thank God. But every now and again, I get a dream, and I realize there's something about this. I was involved in ministry years ago with a group of people. And I remember one day getting this dream. There was a particular individual, a part of this group. And I just felt as if that person was trying to attack me. But it wasn't as if they were coming directly at me physically. It was as if something was emanating from them trying to come against me. And in my dream I was like, I'm holding up my hand and saying, no, 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 no. And then I woke up. And I thought, what a strange dream to have. Wow. Well, about a year later, with the same group of, the same team, this person just, who was in the dream, but now this is reality, this person just suddenly accused me of all sort of stuff. Just suddenly accused me in front of this group of people. And I was like, and I was able to answer all the accusations to show all of them were false. And before that meeting was finished, that person actually apologized and said they were sorry. But I realized, you know, when that happened, I realized sometime later, oh, that was what the dream was. It was trying to warn me, to prepare me that this person would try and attack me spiritually. You see? So don't just discard the dreams, because many times God will use it to help us to be alert, to be prepared. And if we just discard it, we can end up being unprepared when the Lord was trying to get us ready for things that are ahead. So the idea here is just for us to realize that sometimes it's plain, but sometimes it's symbolic. Another time, this one is more symbolic, I was in a car. A group of us were in this car. It was like a convertible. And we're going down a hill. And suddenly this individual from the back seat, I was driving, from the back seat, leaned over and tried to take over the steering wheel. And so I had to be fighting with the person to keep the car on the road. And so we're going down a hill, we end up going around a curve. And so because we're going down the hill and we're going fast, going around the curve, I was able to hold onto the wheel and the person got flown out of the car. And we're able to continue driving, that person was out of the car. But sometime later, again, another team we were involved in ministry, this particular person tried to take over the ministry, take over the leadership from me, and I had to take a stand. And in taking a stand, that person eventually got upset and left. And so as I look back, I realized that God was preparing me for that time. Helped me to realize that the car was symbolic of us being together as a team, traveling together, having a certain direction, but somebody else wanting to be in control. So sometimes it's symbolic. And we have to ask the Lord, what does this mean? Why am I in this car? What is really going on? So that we can benefit from the dream. Don't just say, well, I guess I drive too fast too many times. Which may be true, but the Lord is using it. The Lord is using it to speak to you. Amen. So, there are many times require interpretation. When you read through the book of Daniel, we see lots of dreams there that required interpretation. In fact, when you look at the life of Joseph, you'll see people getting dreams and they required interpretation from the baker and the butler who get their dreams. And Joseph, being gifted by the Lord, was able to interpret it. So that's a little bit about dreams. Let's talk a little bit more now about visions. I've tried to put it into two groups. One I call passive visions. Visions are sometimes things that you can see when you're awake, or like with Peter, you end up in this semi-conscious state. Peter said he would end up in a trance in Acts 10 when he was hungry and went on the rooftop. So you're still aware of what's happening around him, but he was in a semi-conscious state. Or you might just be awake, alert, and you just see this thing. So, but many times there can be of two types. You have what they call a passive vision, a vision like what Stephen saw when he was being stoned. Stephen said, I see the heavens open. And I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. He was aware that he's being stoned, not as if he was, you know, he wasn't sleeping. But suddenly God opened back the veil between the physical realm and the spiritual realm and allowed Stephen to see something, which perhaps helped encourage him because he was going to die a few moments later. And the strange thing about what Stephen saw is that if you are a modern-day theologian looking at Scripture and trying to judge everything by Scripture, you might have a problem with what Stephen saw because the Bible talks about Jesus being seated at the right hand. So the theologian is going to say, boop, that couldn't be from God because Jesus is seated, he's not standing. You see what I'm saying? When we get so rigid, when the reality is that Christ was standing and we can speculate, perhaps it was a way of welcoming Stephen home. Perhaps it was a way of saying to Stephen, I see what's happening and I'm still in control. But Stephen described this to the people around who didn't want to hear, and they got even more angry and stoned him to death, or as one friend of mine says, they rocked him to sleep. Amen. That's a passive vision. Or Jesus said to Nathanael, I saw you when you were under the fig tree. That's a passive thing in that he wasn't directly involved. He wasn't feeling anything. He wasn't saying anything in the vision. He wasn't necessarily even hearing anything. He was just seeing it. And most of the visions that many of us see are more passive visions. There's a missionary friend of ours that I think Cross Creek is going to start supporting. Her name is Marion. She works with YWAM in Jamaica. And she and her team went to Mexico, to one of the tribes in Mexico, one of the villages that, I don't know if they've gotten the gospel before, but the gospel there is very, very resistant in that particular village. And so they went there as a team with Youth with a Mission. And she, and this is in her latest newsletter she wrote to me. She says, in the place of worship where we prepared our hearts before ministry, God showed me in the spirit a picture of a big black buffalo with horns ready to strike. But I was before it in full white with my eyes fixed on it. As I worshiped God unafraid, it was paralyzed and could not move. I shared this picture with the team, and we were not fearful, but it heightened our awareness to be watchful and alert. So she got that vision. It's a passive thing. She's seen it. And the response in her spirit from the Lord is, just worship me. Just magnify the Lord. Don't worry about that buffalo. Look like it's ready to strike. So she goes on to say, the following day, when we got to the first village for ministry, I saw a big ram goat with huge horns, and I was pointing out that these horns remind me of the ones I saw in the spirit. We continued to climb because all the Los Hochulos villages are high above the lake. Before the day ended, the nurse on the team was knocked out flat. They called for the Jamaican team to come quickly to pray. Kenesha and I got there first, and immediately we knew that we were to worship the King of Kings unafraid. By the time Tiffany and Anika came, we were exalting Jesus and erecting an altar of praise as the Holy Spirit revealed to us that this was happening. Nurse had touched someone who was involved with witchcraft, and she was striking it so that she got the direct hit. But she was not alone. We all rallied in prayer and worshiped. I held her. She was burning with instant fever. I asked for ice to cool her down. Holy Spirit revealed that she was in severe pain. So one person laid hands on her and she was healed instantly. It was powerful to see the team at work as we listened to God and did his work. After about 30 minutes, she was on her feet and was able to walk down the hill to get to the boat. By the time we got to the other village, she was back to normal. And so they were alert and understood what to do because of the vision she got the day before. You see, so you can see why these things are very, very crucial for each one of us. Not to dismiss these things here before the Lord and it's your picture. Write it down. You go to bed at night and you get a dream and it stays with you. Write it down somewhere so you don't miss it. You see? And this vision that she got helped them to be alert and to know, listen, what you need to do is to worship the Lord and declare the name of Jesus and not to be afraid, not to be alarmed. That's a passive vision where you can see pictures or you see scenes, and God gives us insights into how to respond. In the scripture, you have Jeremiah, where the Lord asked him, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he says, I see your arm and rod. And the Lord says, you have seen correctly. That's my people. And what do you see again? I see a pot boiling over. And the Lord says, yeah, it's coming from the north, and I'm going to pour out judgment. But he asked him, what do you see? And then gave him the understanding. That's what I call a passive vision. Then you have what they call open vision. This is where, you know, people are actually caught up in the vision itself, where they actually hear things and might feel things. Ezekiel had a lot of these when he read the book of Ezekiel. It's like, whoa, Ezekiel is even carried away in the spirit to different places. But this is where the spiritual realm breaks into the physical realm, I put it here. And we are actively involved in the vision. Sometimes an angel might come through, like it happened with Cornelius. While he was praying, an angel appeared to him and spoke to him and told him what to do. So now it's an open vision. Sometimes it can be aware of your physical environment, sometimes it may not be. Isaiah 60 is Isaiah when he saw the Lord, and he says, you know, he saw the cherubims and flying back and forth, crying out, holy, holy, holy. And he says that even the very foundation of the temple shook. And he felt like he was going to die. He says, woe is me, I'm ruined. He was experiencing stuff. He wasn't just passively looking at something. I want to read Daniel chapter 10. A passage that many of you are familiar with. Daniel set himself to gain insights and understanding in what people call Daniel fast. And picking up at verse 5, Daniel says, I looked up and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, his voice like the sound of a multitude. Then verse 7 is what is key. He says, I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it. That's interesting. They hear Daniel, people all around him, and he sees this vision. And the people around him, they don't see it. It happens all the time. Many of you who see these things in the spirit, you know. You see things and people around him don't have a clue. These guys who are with Daniel, they sense something. So it says, the men with me did not see, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. And so I was alone, gazing at the great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. So this angel broke into the natural, but only revealed himself to Daniel. And the guys around him sense something. Something is happening. We can't see, but we know there's something happening. They got so scared they left. Now, you as saints of God, you perhaps wouldn't get scared and leave, but you wouldn't understand why so-and-so is seeing this thing and you not seeing a thing. I can't explain it, but I do know that there are many people who are privileged like that. They're blessed like that. God allows them to see angels, to see the Lord himself, to see different things, and the rest of us, you might sense that there's a presence. For me, when it comes to angels, I sense them. I feel them, they brush by me like wind. I feel them, but I don't see the big, huge angels that some of the children see. But that doesn't mean the angel is not there, because I can sense the presence. And so I just want us to be aware of this. Parents, be aware of this. When your children start to describe things to you, don't dismiss them and say, oh, this kid has a very vivid imagination. It might just be the Lord showing the child something spiritually. And not because you parent don't see it doesn't mean it's not true. So you can have the vision and other people around you are totally unaware. Don't be alarmed. It happened in Scripture. It will continue to happen until the Lord returns. It's just part of how God has chosen to function and to reveal things to people. It may involve, put here in the notes, angelic activity. The angel called Cornelius by name. The angels, the Lord revealed things to them. And the angels or whoever might give you direction, might help you to gain insights into what to do. Let's spend a few more minutes talking about the purpose then of dreams and visions together. Why the Lord giving us these things? Well, one of them you already answered, in that we're so busy, up and down, doing our own thing, that for some of us, the Lord have to wait until we are asleep to talk to us. He would love to say, Joe, why don't you just stop right now so I can talk to you? And Joe is like, no, I need to get here, I need to get to there, I've got to Springfield, then I have to go down to Joplin, then I have to come on back, I have no time to listen. So the Lord says, okay, when you're asleep, I'll drop this dream into your heart, into your mind. And the dreams come, and there are several purposes for dreams and visions. The first one we saw in Genesis 20 there was a warning to Abimelech. If you touch that lady, you're dead. It came as a warning. And I have several scriptures there that come as warning, that God uses dreams to warn people. In Job, that's what it says to the unsaved, to warn them of pending judgment, to warn them of things ahead. Many of you have gotten dreams to alert you of things to come and help you to try and get prepared for it. With Abimelech, the Lord told him what to do to prevent judgment from coming upon him. So in the dream, God can give us directions to spear us. With Nebuchadnezzar, when he saw the big tree that was cut down, Daniel said to him, you are that big tree. And my advice to you is to stop your wickedness and to repent, or else God is going to cut you down just like that tree. So it came as a warning to him, but also helping him to see how he can escape the judgment. And many of you know, with Nebuchadnezzar, for a while he heeded, and then sometime later he's like, oh, forgot about that dream. I am the greatest there ever was. There's none like me. They all want to be my friend. They all have to come bow before me. And the Lord says, really? And he was struck down, go crazy for a period of time. And the dream came to pass. He got the dream. The Lord was trying to talk to him. So it can be to prevent judgment. Here, puts can give you instructions about different things. Abimelech, the Lord told him what to do, so he and his family will be healed. Many times you have issues you're trying to solve, problems you don't understand, and the Lord can show you what to do in your dream. Sometimes you don't even realize a dream, but the next morning you wake up and you suddenly know, I know what to do. God sealed instructions. I know exactly how to go about this thing. He can also reveal deception and evil plans, as he did with the Magi. The Lord spoke to them in a dream and said, listen, that Herod, he's a deceiver, don't go back that way. And so God can reveal plans to us that people have and spear us all sort of heartache. It can help to give us a revelation of God and activities that are taking place beyond this physical veil. God can roll back the screen and help us to see some of the things that are happening. With Jacob, as he was fleeing from his brother Esau, here in Genesis, and he lay down on that rock as his pillow. God gave him this vision and his dream in the middle of the night. And he saw this ladder with angels ascending and descending. And God was helping him to see, listen, I'm still in charge. And there is a spiritual dimension that there is to life. And the Lord spoke to him and said, listen, I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to bring you back here. But he did all of that through that vision, that dream. That dream that Jacob had in the middle of the night. And helped Jacob to see, listen, all sort of stuff happening around you. And when you read the life of Jacob, you see Jacob says, there was an angel assigned to me. That angel kept me all the way through. He gained insight from that. And so you can get dreams and visions like that where God just wants to show you some stuff to build your faith so you can have confidence as you walk with him. God can declare his word or promise to us through the dream or through the vision. He can give us strategies for success. I just mentioned a while ago, he just tell you exactly what to do. With Jacob, the Lord said to him, listen, I know that Laban is a cheat. And every time you think you're going to get ahead, he changes your salary. 10 times he changed it on Jacob. And the Lord says, listen, I'm going to show you something. And the Lord showed him that the goats were looking at certain rods and things that were cut out in the rods, and that as they did that, they had certain types of offspring. He gave him this vision as a strategy for success. And so Jacob went to Laban and said, listen, give me all of these type of animals. Give me these ones. And Jacob did the same thing, cut out that piece of wood so that the animals could only see the white in it and the stripes, and whatever they saw, that's what they produced. But he got that strategy from the Lord. And so God can give us strategies for success in the middle of our dreams or visions. Don't just discard them. He can provide us with guidance, as he did with the Magi's, telling us what to do and where to go. He can reveal God's call or purpose, as he did with Joseph. The dreams or vision may not come to pass immediately, but Joseph got those dreams from early. And it took years before they came to pass, but those dreams kept him. In the middle of prison, kept him. In the middle of being a slave, it kept him. Being abandoned by his family, it kept him. I mean, if anybody had reasons to get upset, if anybody had reasons to have a chip on his shoulder, it would have been Joseph. I mean, look how bad life has been to me. But because of that dream, he was able to still persevere and maintain his walk with God. Until that dream came to pass. And then he could look back at his brothers and say, you know what? What you did with evil intentions. You really thought you were going to hurt me and get rid of me. But you don't understand that there's a God in heaven who turns all things together, working for good for those who love him. God sent me ahead to save you who tried to kill me. You see? And he could say that with confidence because of the dreams that he had before. And so don't discard them. It might seem weird and strange. And even those dreams that we mentioned before had to be interpreted. But it kept him. It can serve to confirm God's word as it did with Gideon. When Gideon was still scared and they went down to the enemy's camp, and enemies getting this dream of this loaf that is destroying everything, coming and rolling into the camp and destroying everything. And they said, that is Gideon. They understood it. And Gideon overheard and said, oh my goodness. They can help to prepare us, can reveal the future and help us to be prepared for future events. My wife has shared different visions that this good friend of mine got about us as a family. And so those visions help to prepare us. The vision of her ministering to children in the middle of her pediatric residency, where she was working, how many hours a week? Over 100 hours a week. with a young child and wondering, am I doing the right thing? And this friend of mine called, and as she's talking to him, that dream, that vision that shared us, which shared me, which I shared my wife years before, suddenly came back to her. And she realized, I'm in the right place at the right time. So God gives us the dream because it's easier for us to remember the dream. And if you write it down, you'll remember some of the details even more. When you just get a simple word, sometimes it just slips you. But when you get the dream, it stays there in your mind and allows you to pray about it, allows you to meditate upon it. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10. This is the story of Peter. Acts chapter 10, starting about verse 9. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey, approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. And it's not because of the hunger. You know, if you modern day theologians who don't believe in the things of the Spirit, say he got so hungry he fell into a trance. Almost a diabetic coma. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. So he's so hungry he'd eat anything. No, this is from God. Then a voice called him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that the Lord has cleaned." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. Then verse 17 says, while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, so he got this vision vivid, and he's like, what on earth just happened here? What does this mean? He doesn't know. Even the Lord has said to him, don't call anything that have, cleansed unclean. He doesn't really get it. But God gave him this vision, and he's meditating on it. Many times he gives us a dream or a vision for us to think about it and come before him and ask him, Lord, what does this mean? So while Peter was, this is verse 17, wondering about the vision, the men from Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, he's meditating on it. Lord, what does this mean? The Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. Basically, go with them. And so Peter was able to relate the same account to the people in Jerusalem in chapter 11, because they were like, why go to the Gentiles? Despite Christ having been with them for 3.5 years, despite all the stuff that they saw, they were so entrenched in their Jewish ways of thinking, they still didn't realize they need to go to the Gentiles and welcome the Gentiles into the kingdom. And so God had to break through by giving Peter this vision that he could relate now back to the Jewish brethren and say, listen, this is what happened. And God was showing me then through this thing that he has cleansed the Gentiles, that we shouldn't be separate from them. It's just one body. But he didn't get it immediately. He had to meditate upon it. And as he followed the Lord in obedience and went to the Gentiles, and God supernaturally caused the Gentiles to respond to the gospel while Peter is speaking, he didn't even have a chance to do an altar call. Many times God will do that. Because us who speak up here, we are so limited. God is like, Joe Campbell, you're so slow. I just have to bypass you and touch my people. That's what he did. He's like, Peter, you're so slow, I got to bypass you. See, I say faith in the hearts of these people. Pour out my spirit, and they start to speak in tongues. And Peter's like, what is happening here? I didn't do this. No, you didn't, Peter. And so all Peter could say is, you know what? These guys need to be baptized now. And so Peter, based upon the vision that God gave him, now had understanding, because the vision came before. Now he's understanding when he sees, like, oh, that's what this means. It's the same thing for us, saints. Sometimes there are things God wants us to do, people God wants us to talk to, prayers that God wants us to pray, and yes, to give us a dream or a vision. So it's there in our mind, so that when things come into place, we can say, oh, yeah, this is a God thing. This is from the Lord. And it's part of how the church is supposed to function. This is part of what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. Dreams and visions in the last days. Let us stand. It's going to be, it is important, especially, well, for all of us, but especially for you folks who have children, grandchildren, nieces and nephews. God will show you stuff. I think my wife got a dream. What's that dream? Sometime back, about a young man who used to live in this area, well, up in St. Robert area, but we knew him. And then his family moved to Kansas City. And one night, my wife got a dream about him. We knew him because he had been to our house. And so my wife called his mother and shared the dream with his mother, and it just confirmed some stuff that this young man was going through. Some difficult things he was going through. And so my wife was able, did you pray with her? And so my wife was able to fast and pray with this woman over her son. And then God eventually brought deliverance to that young man. You see? But it came because of the dream. She would not have called this lady to ask about this young man. But the dream directed her. Said, I need to call and find out what's happening. And share, I've got this dream. We were sharing Wednesday night at Bible study. Just the importance of being sensitive to the Lord. And I remember sharing with a group that sometime back, might have been last year, might have been the year before, I don't know. When you get old, everything runs together. And a friend of mine that I went to college with, good friend, I can't remember if we were in touch probably once or twice after that. But one Sunday evening, she just called me out of the blue. Saying, Brother Joe, I had a dream about you. And I felt the Lord wanted me to call you and to pray with you. And she did that. And what that did for me was to say, the Lord would say, see, young man, son, I have people all over the place that are in touch with me, that I can download things into their life to intercede on your behalf at any time. You don't need to get concerned about anything because I got people all over. And so God will do that through dreams and visions. Sometimes for ourselves, sometimes for our family, but sometimes it's for other people. And he'll seek to prepare us and help us to defeat the enemy, because we're there ahead of the enemy, anticipating the enemy's response or attack, and we're there ready. And that's why I think God will show appearance some of these things in dreams and visions. When you read the scripture, you hear Elisha saying to his servant Gehazi, I saw you when you went after Naaman. He saw it by the Spirit. I saw when you took all of that stuff. I saw you when you were at school, son, hanging out with the wrong people. I saw you. How did you see me? By the Spirit. I grew up with a mother. You have to be careful how you walk. She will see things and dream stuff. Yeah. And I believe God sets up the family like that because he wants to deposit through the parents information to help them to raise their children in the fear and the knowledge of the Lord. And it will happen even if they're adults. God will give you dreams for them. You have to pray and intercede for them. We are people of the Spirit. I want to pray for us this morning. Some of you, God has used in this way in the past. God is using right now fine. But some of you, you know, there seems to be a little lull in the visions and the dreams. And I'm going to pray for an awakening. And I'm going to pray for an increase. Because this is how we're supposed to function in the last days. The doorbell rings, and before you open it, you know who's behind there. I saw you walking up the driveway. Yeah. If you can, just put your hand over your eyes while I pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, your word says in the Old Testament that many times a prophet was called a seer because you'd show them things in the Spirit. Lord, you promised us in the last days that we'd see visions and dream dreams that come from you. Father, I pray for each of us this morning. Lord, I pray for those who used to see visions and used to dream, but Lord, they're in a lull. Lord, I pray for an awakening, a rekindling, O God, of their spiritual senses, spiritual eyes, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for all of us for an increase in dreams and visions that come from you. Lord, help us, Lord, to remember the things you show us in our dreams and visions. Prepare us, O God, for the things ahead. Use us, O God, to stand in the gap on the behalf of others because of the things that you show us and reveal to us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, cause us indeed to be people who live by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, I pray for those who are also online, O God, that you might touch their spiritual senses, that you might make them sensitive to the things of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. So, Lord God, whether we are awake or whether we are asleep, O God, we would be in tune with your Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. That, Father, we would not just be those who hear every now and again, but Lord, may we be those who are continually in communion with you, mighty God, hearing and seeing and being led by your Spirit and being used by your Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, so equip us, mighty God, that when we interact even with the unsaved, Father God, you would help us to know the right things to say. And Lord God, you even prepare us beforehand with dreams so that when we encounter them, mighty God, we know who we're talking to. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, move us into deeper things in your Spirit. Lord, move us from where we're at, oh God, to new levels in your Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Open our spiritual eyes and spiritual senses to the things, oh God, in the spiritual realm. Peel back, oh God, the veil of the natural and help us to see the things of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we give you thanks this morning. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, give us something, Sean.
I see your goodness in the land of the living. I see your goodness right here, right now. You know the ending before the beginning. I know that you have worked all things out.
I just wanted to share a dream that I had, I don't know, three years ago. And I had the dream three times in the same night. And it was just that I saw this plate of food, and then I saw the numbers 9/11 come on the food. And that happened three times. And it felt like the Lord, it was a warning that there's going to be attack against the food. And I felt like it was for the church, you know, just to warn us that prepare. That's one meaning of it. The other meaning of it was pray. We have authority in our country, and God wants us to stop this, you know. And the fact that it said 911 told me it was like imposed on us, like it was a terrorist attack. I don't know, you know, if that would be the proper word, but so it's just for prayer. I mean, I really feel all the stuff that's happened this year is part of that. So I just wanted to share that. Okay, yeah. Lord Jesus, I thank you that nothing's too difficult for you. I thank you that no weapon fashioned against you can prosper, and no weapon fashioned against us can prosper. And Lord, I just decree and declare that America shall be saved. Lord, I decree and declare that our food sources will be abundant one way or another. Lord, you can multiply food or you can save our food. And I just decree and declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living in the United States of America. And I say, even in the whole world, Lord, I ask you to show us even more, Lord, what's going on, and to teach us how to pray. And I thank you that we belong to Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So Lord, we just thank you again for your grace and your goodness. Father, I pray, God, you might cause your face to shine upon us. You might cause also, God, to walk on the light of your countenance. That, Lord, you might cause your blessings to follow us and to overtake us and to surround us. And that, Lord, you might give us health and strength. And that, Lord, we might be indeed the carriers of the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and you are dismissed. The Lord bless you.